This is where the gaslighting gets really good.
All you searching for adventure.
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It is time for another day of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am your host, Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett. You said that with purpose.
And, and hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
I guess I'm feeling just a little energetic. Full disclosure, people listening, I was here and waiting for Jason and Kurt to call, and they were calling, but I just didn't see them. I was waiting to do the podcast, but I was reading a book. I had my phone on silent, and I looked down and I had like these several calls from Jason, and I'm like, wait, what? So
I just chalked it up to like maybe because we're recording this on inauguration day. And of course you both froze up. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah. Because I was listening to, I get the news. It's like a 5-minute news podcast from NPR that's updated every hour. And this morning, as I was getting ready for work, one of the news anchors was like really excited to say President Joe Biden. And the other one, I think it was sort of like a verbal dig at Trump too, and it just struck me as like, wow, they are happy today at NPR.
Yeah,
as happy as an NPR anchor can be.
I love when they get all the ex-presidents together and they get like some ex-vice presidents. They mix them all up and like who talks to who and who's kind of given who shade. And
well, you did know. You see the picture today?
Which one?
No.
It was a picture today, and it was, I think it was from a couple of years ago, though, but there was a picture today in one of the newspapers, and it was both Bushes, Carter, Obama, and, both Bushes, Carter and Obama. Oh, well, and Clinton.
That's got to be an old photo if Bush 1 is there.
Well,
yeah.
Which one was this? So the older?
So a couple of years ago. It was in one of the papers. And they were talking about that, how the presidents hang out.
I would imagine. I mean, if you beyond the fact that they still consult ex-presidents for things of, you know, national security, at the end of the day, like, even if you disagree politically with your predecessors, it's a very, very, very small club of like who has done this job before and understands the pressures of doing that job. It's a handful that you can count on one hand.
And then there's a whole thing also that I guess Michelle Obama and Bush Jr.
Like that.
Are best friends or something. Like they totally get along.
It's like Johnny Lawrence and Danielson. I love it when you know, people who are adversaries in some way. Adversaries, is that the right word? And they're adversaries.
Oh, adversaries? You
know, yeah. Adversaries in some way. Thank you. I learned proper English while I'm on the air in a podcast. When people are adversaries some way, in some regard, but now they're friends. And George W. Bush always goes over and gives her a pack of M&Ms or something like that. Or
they have and I, even though I'm not a fan of Bush too, there, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but there does seem to be a weird bit of like, he's a little kid and she's the mom that's always nice to him. So he always gravitates towards him.
Right. Like I brought you some candy.
Because there is some image from, it might have been from Trump's inauguration where there was like singing and like there's a photo of like Michelle Obama holding his hand and they were like waving their hands in the air. And it felt like I was watching a school assembly.
Boy, wave your hands in the air, don't care.
Did you guys watch the inauguration? I got to tell you, this is the year of the fabulous coat. There were some fabulous coats today.
Well, it is cold in D.C.
But no. But the coats were like fabulous coats then, like great looking coats.
Think about it. Nobody has really had a chance to wear anything anywhere for the whole year. So the designers are probably like, hey, everyone's watching this event. Let's get out some jackets now.
Yeah.
Like the Oscars.
Yeah.
Because they really like went for it. All these women with their coats, they like totally went for it.
I love it. I love the reverend that they bring out. That the reverends always have that great reverend voice. So, and you have this, what we're going to do today is, oh man. kind of like in and out. Like, so I kind of walk through the room and I hear that, hey, no, no. I'm like, all right. And then I pop in again and see whatever awkwardness is going on.
And of course, you know, I watched J-Lo and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I didn't really see much of it because I was working, but I saw a photo of Gaga, and it was a meme. Was there a moment where Pence handed her the microphone or something?
A lot of awkwardness with him. He was kind of standing there, and people weren't really talking to him.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't know if he, like, because I didn't see it, but I don't know if there was a moment where he handed him a microphone or she reached down or whatever, but the meme was like, he's on the ground, Gaga's on stage, and it said something about, it basically was implying that Pence was gay because he was fangirling over Gaga or something like that.
Well, could you imagine Pence today after all this stuff and after all of his people did all their shit talking and all this stuff, and then they're all not there and he's there by himself like, oh, hi, guys.
He's there.
I don't feel remotely sorry for him.
Because he
was on that train up until the moment he decided, oh, this is going to hurt me politically, and then got off. So,
he shows up.
Right.
And you know what? If you're listening and you're not angry about what we're talking about, you can angry tweet me. I'll have a field day.
It kind of, like, Mike Pence being there kind of reminds me of the end of Harry Potter when, like, Draco, I guess it was. Draco
Malfoy, yes.
Yeah, he's kind of there. I didn't see the movie. I read the book. But I remember that, like, Draco Malfoy is kind of, like, just hanging out there while everybody else is celebrating.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Well, hey, let's get into this. And, you know, now that we've talked about news, we've got to talk about the most important news of the day. Black China news.
China. I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
I do feel like you need to introduce Kurt the way that you normally do, just because it throws off the rhythm less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kurt, do you have any Black China news?
China.
I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
I do, but this is not the kind of news that Les likes, because we're not going to mention any wardrobe. But
what about a jacket that she could have worn to the inauguration, Kurt?
That's true. Yeah, I'm looking at some outfits she has on right now. She has like a net outfit. This picture I see right here.
And don't worry about the outfit thing, because I have a Black China report as well, because I watch the Black China TV show.
Okay, we'll circle back to that.
This show is going Black China heavy. All right, this is from hotnewhiphop.com. The headline is, Black China gave me the most bullshit-ass interview, says Adam Traw. We covered this. I mean, we covered the original story. All right, so back in October, Black China made headlines for storming out of an interview with Adam 12 for the No Jumper podcast after he asked about her previous relationship with Bow Wow. Angry at him for being weird with her, the new artist left the interview after just 18 minutes. In an interview for Vlad TV, the podcaster got candid about what he calls the most bullshit-ass interview. During his interview for Vlad TV, DJ Vlad begins by bringing up, by the way, I don't think these people have more listeners than we do, by bringing up the topic of plastic surgery before asking the No Jumper host about his experience involving the 32-year-old socialite. I tried to interview her, he explained. The whole thing lasted 18 minutes. Whatever's on YouTube is the full thing. When asked why she stormed out, the podcaster responded, well, it all started because she walked in and she wanted to use the bathroom. And I mean, my space is in a warehouse, so the bathroom is like pretty akin to any warehouse you've ever been to. It's not the worst, he explained. He went on, she takes one look at it and she's just like, no, I'm not doing it. And she's so pissed. He offered her an option to use the restroom at McDonald's or Starbucks. Hold on. They continued on with the interview with Adam 22, adding, I already knew this was not the energy to be going into an interview with, you know, if she had sat down and done a good interview and actually showing the version of herself that I'm sure exists. She came in and gave me the worst bullshit ass interview, and I couldn't believe it. He then went on to explain his experience involving Amber Rose the following week, praising the 37-year-old model for her kind manners and genuine personality. But that is a different story.
That's amazing, only because who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck is DJ Vlad? Like, I wonder if we could start getting written up in publications like, what website was this, Kurt?
What?
What website was this from?
Hot New Hip Hop?
Yeah, I wonder if we could start getting written about in Hot New Hip Hop if we just claimed that we had a bad interaction with Blac Chyna.
Les, weren't you written up in some articles because you interviewed somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Not for this podcast, though.
No, for my, it was like this gossip thing, because on my other podcast, The Reality Reading Rainbow, where I talk about reality shows and reality books and books written by reality stars. And so I interviewed this legal expert about the Erica and Tom Girardi case. Erica Girardi is from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And he's been busted embezzling from all of his different companies. And so I talked to this guy, and yeah, I got a write-up because of that.
We are the media.
So,
100 listeners.
Well, okay, let me say something in defense of Blac Chyna, though.
Okay.
All right. So if you are in a situation where you have to have guests to come in and do interviews with you, I think it would behoove you to have a clean bathroom.
I agree.
Especially,
it's fair.
You know, especially if you're having a lady come to your space.
Why? Why? Like, honest question. Why does a lady get preferential treatment in terms of the cleanliness of the bathroom?
No. And I'm not even thinking. I'm not even saying it in a preferential sort of a way. It's more of, okay, so if you have a rancid bathroom, sometimes a guy will be just like, fuck it, I'm just going to go in and do it and be done. As opposed to a lot of my lady friends, if the bathroom is rancid, they're like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I agree. But I would also say we don't know that it was rancid. We just know that she walked in and it was like a warehouse bathroom. It might have just been like, it might not have been nasty. It might just not have been the nicest bathroom that you've ever seen. You know, like if she were going to say a really like fancy podcast studio at one of the ones with more money, maybe they keep a nicer sort of setup there, whereas this is just like, you know, kind of dumpy little bathroom in a warehouse for all we
that's
know.
That's fair.
They could at least rent, you know, if you don't have a proper bathroom, rent a spot a pot if Blac Chyna is coming.
Or if we learn anything from our last president, you can go to the Obama's house around the corner.
The Secret Service had to go sneak into the Obama's house.
Yeah, the story. I forget which. It was a legit newspaper, but they had reported that Secret Service wasn't allowed to go to one of the many bathrooms in Jared and Ivanka's house, and I guess they live pretty close to the Obamas, so the Obamas were letting them use the bathroom there. We're really political today, but then they had to ban the Secret Service because one of them I don't mean this in a threat way. I mean this in a bathroom way. Blew the place up.
Oh man!
This
okay,
was literally reported in a reputable newspaper.
That's rude, though. That you're gonna go and use someone else's bathroom who's doing you a favor, and you're gonna blow it up.
Well, I don't think anyone ever intends to, but sometimes you gotta go, and if that's where you're allowed to go.
Because I could see Michelle first going, Trevor, come on over. Yeah, you can use it. And then Trevor, no, you're not coming back, Trevor.
Well, they're throwing shade. That's the thing. They're like, well, you know, we allow our bathroom to be used, unlike some people. Well, I'll tell you, that's a crazy world over there.
Well, anyway, so I mentioned.
Wait, Les. Do you have any Black China news?
China. I have to have my China.
China! And now, the Black China Report with Les Kirk and Barrett.
Les, you have to wait for the theme.
Yeah.
This is new for me. I've never had Black China.
I may have to
report
update the intro, by the way, based on the current situation.
Cub Black China Reporter.
Yeah, this is all new. Well, last week, I actually sat down and I turned on WeTV and I watched an episode of The Real Black China.
Now, did you know what was going on, having never seen it on Zeus TV?
Yes, okay. Because it was very... It was very simple. Now, the incident that was happening was the whole episode was, okay, so Black China and Tokyo Tony had a fight because Tokyo Tony was mad because, okay, Black China bought her a car, but Tokyo Tony was mad because Black China bought her a Toyota Maxima, and she was very upset about it.
Okay.
I mean this legitimately. Should we, instead of doing a movie one week, should we all collectively watch an episode of this and do an episode about that?
I'd be down for it. Yeah. The show is in my wheelhouse. It did not disappoint, and it is now on my list of weekly television shows to watch. It automatically DVRs.
What is the name of the show? Just the Black China show? What's it called?
The Real Black China.
Okay.
And it was very exciting. Tokyo Toni got so mad at Black China. She told her that she was going to come across the room and knock the Botox off of her face.
Yeah, for anyone listening that this is their first episode of our podcast and doesn't know anything about Black China, her mom is Tokyo Toni. Neither one of them are their birth names, by the way.
So she's mad because Black China bought her a car?
Didn't buy her a cool car.
Right, but here's the thing. Black China has a head on her shoulders because Black China says to the camera, she's like, the reason why I didn't buy her a better car is because I wanted to bring up my credit.
What? She wanted to bring up her credit.
She wanted to bring up, she bought an economical car since Black China is the one that is going to be doing the payments because she bought like an economical car that will, you know how sometimes if you buy a used car, it goes towards like building your credit if you have a lower credit score.
If you're paying car payments, then you have a lower credit score. So she just buy the car outright or?
But if you buy a car and make the payments on time, it helps your credit. Like, yeah. But when you're done,
I think I kind of get it. Like, if buying like a Toyota is a little bit more sensible, so it's not as big of a payment. It's easier to make the payments on time. The insurance is probably cheaper on that as well, versus buying like a flashy sports car, more expensive. It's a bigger piece of debt to be carrying, which affects your score, and the insurance is higher.
Right.
Doing right. Financial news okay. now.
Well, I know once I paid my car off, my credit rating went up.
Yeah. But right. having yes. any kind of debt, though, actually helps your credit score as long as you're being consistent about paying it. So having a car payment, if you haven't had a car payment in a while, helps your credit score.
You have to have a little bit of debt. Carry like a little bit of debt.
And then after the argument, Black China then went to get some Botox and her jaw done.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I guess full she's episode.
A show about what she's spending money on.
Yeah. And it was good. It is now on my roster.
I'm proud of you.
I don't know whether to be envious, horrified, or neutral.
Envious. You are the Black China Reporter, and Les is honing in on your turf.
And you know what? Because I had never, other than us talking about Black China, I had never actually, like, I'd seen her on the Wendy Williams show every now and then, but I had never actually watched Black China for an amount of time other than 5 minutes. She's very personable. Like, I'd hang out with her.
Yeah.
Maybe we will.
Yeah. She's very nice. I was like, oh, I like her.
Well, let's clean our bathrooms and invite her to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. She doesn't want to use my bathroom.
Yeah. Black China, we have clean bathrooms on this podcast.
you may skip my bathroom and use your mama's.
Well, let's get into this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for a daughter.
Yeah. Let me find my note.
Yeah. So we watched a Lifetime movie this week called Dying for a Daughter, and wow, it's
kind of title.
What's that? Dying for a Daughter. Yeah. It checked most, if not all, of the boxes that you want in a Lifetime movie and want and expect in a Lifetime movie.
Yes. This is our first Lifetime movie of the year. So this is a good, so once again, for the second year in a row, we've started with a good movie Lifetime-wise.
Yeah.
So, it ticked all of the boxes because we start off with a cold open.
And was I was it like, really a cold open, was it?
Coldish.
Sort of. It
wasn't a cold open in the sense of most Lifetime movies where it's like, it's a different family, a different scenario, a different point in time. Like, it opened the movie kind of, kind of with a jolt that dragged you in. But we followed this family story through the entire movie.
And what a family it was.
There's a whole bunch of stupid people in this movie, and they're doing a whole bunch of stupid things.
Mm-hmm. Stupid.
I loved it.
But during the whole movie, I was kind of like, oh, I've missed you.
It did feel like home, didn't it?
So we see a woman and her daughter. And they're driving. It looked like they were driving like through the Hollywood Hills or through like one of the canyons or something at night. And so the little girl's in the back seat. Her mother was like, she takes off her seatbelt.
The daughter
does. And the daughter takes off her seatbelt. The mom is like, put your seatbelt back on. The daughter's like, oh, I just want to get a book first. And then the tire blows. There's a car accident. We're in the hospital. They're taking care of the girl. Like, the mom was fine.
Yeah.
But the little girl was, like, messed up.
Was she planning on reading in a moving vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he's in the back seat of the car.
You get motion sickness doing that. Maybe she was better off getting in an accident.
She's better off getting an accident.
Interesting. And I don't have a little kid. I don't have a little kid. And I guess I'm talking to two other people who don't have little kids. But the little girl was like 10, but she was sitting in a car seat. Like, her mom was like, get back into your car seat.
Was Isn't she in a car seat old? Or just in the back seat? I think she was just in the back seat.
Get back into your special seat.
Yeah, like up to a certain height. After a certain age, you have to sit in a car seat in the back that's facing backwards. And then up to a certain height, you still have to sit in the back. You can't sit in the front seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I never sat in one of those seats.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a law back when we were little.
Well, no. Come on, Kurt. When we were kids, you could stand up in the front seat while your mom was driving.
I didn't even use a seatbelt. I remember one time I had to wear a seatbelt. I had a seatbelt for like 5 minutes. And I was like crying. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm restrained.
Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't wear seatbelts as our mothers drove the car smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad would smoke a cigar in the car.
So the little girl, so they called like an ambulance. The little girl goes into the emergency room. The nurses are helping out. And one of the nurses, like, looks at her and, like, gets this look. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like, almost like she recognized her.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't look like her.
And so then the husband gets a phone. The dad gets a phone call. Mm-hmm. Then we see the mom and dad.
Wait, first of all, the dad gets a phone call. And this might have been my favorite moment of the entire movie. Is he's like, yeah, this is Thomas Roberts. Oh, this is about he gets a call and you can tell from the way he's answering that the call is about his wife. Oh, you're calling about my wife? And he jets out. So when that happens, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, the mom is dead. And also, why isn't he asking about his daughter? Gets right to the hospital. Mom's fine. He even makes a comment about the fact that she barely has a scratch on her. Meanwhile, like, the daughter is not paralyzed, but she's pretty messed up. Didn't ask about his daughter. Mom was totally fine. Like, hospital doesn't call about his daughter who had a terrible accident. They're calling, hey, your wife. Come get her.
Right. Now, didn't you think, because her hands, like, did they have to, like, break her hand, like, or set her hands or something?
Who, the daughter?
Because remember they were like, can you show us your hands? And then, like, they're like, can you move your hands? And then she lifted them up and they were kind of, like crooked.
I never heard of breaking someone's hands and set their
and
hands.
And then there was a screen, or maybe they had to adjust.
That is some method acting. This kid is committed. Fuck De Niro losing weight for a role or whatever. This kid is like, no, I'm committed to this part. Break my limbs.
Damn. Yeah. Middle age surgery exhibits you go to.
But the little girl turned out to be okay. Like, she was hurt, but she was gonna be fine.
Yeah.
And so then she needed a blood transfusion. And so the doctor called the mom and dad into another room, and they're talking about the blood transfusion, and this is where we find out that the girl is adopted.
Did you think that was weird that they had to have a special conversation about your daughter was in an accident and she needs blood? Like, wouldn't that be just a normal thing? They wouldn't even need the parents' consent to, like, go ahead and put blood in her?
Oh, wait. Or wasn't it because, like, her blood type, like, she had type O blood, or it was some kind, it was like a...
Well, it was a conversation. I mean, it was an expository conversation to establish for the audience watching at home that, hey, this kid is adopted. But I don't feel like that conversation would have actually happened in real life. In other words, I don't feel like the doctor would have made a big deal of, hey, we need to do this not in front of your daughter. Right. Let's have this conversation, even though your daughter's out cold. Let's walk outside and have this very important conversation about, like, oh, she needs blood. Like, of course she needs blood. She was in an accident.
Right. So then while they're out of the room, a nurse walks in, and I'm like, "Up, oh, there she is." our villain of the show, the nurse, goes walking into the room with she looks at the chart, and then she whips out a giant iPad, and I'm like, "Oh, they're back."
It was like the size of a big screen TV. Like, she's got this huge iPad to take photos. Like, giant way to be inconspicuous.
So she snaps a picture of the chart with, like, their address. And like I said, I've always said this about Lifetime movies. The Lifetime movies, they are what they are. You know what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
The title was Dying for Daughter, and that's what it was. And it did not try to be anything else.
Yeah.
So she snaps the address, and you know what she's up to.
I also don't feel like their home address would be on the chart.
No,
but this is like Lifetime logic. Like, they always beat the audience over the head with, like, hey, look, we're being sneaky here. Hey, you may have missed it before the last commercial break when you were putting your kid down. So we're going to repeat this stupid information again just to make sure you got it. Like, they said, I'll say what they said later on when we get to it. But there was one piece of information they kept hammering home for the audience, and it was absurd.
But yeah, the chart looked like an invoice. It looked like an invoice.
Yeah, it did. Right.
It probably was. There's how much it is for the blood transfusion.
So then the doctor catches her.
Yeah, I recognize
that. She comes up with an excuse.
Who was that? Who was he? I've seen him before.
I feel like he might have been in one of the movies before. He's like a poor man's Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah, we've seen him in other things. We've seen him before. And we've seen the mother before, too.
Really?
She comes up with an excuse. The doctor tells her, you know, you don't look well. And then she leaves the room.
It was that Lifetime thing of it's so condescending. It's always a person of authority, usually a man, telling a woman, you need some rest.
Yeah, you look tired. So then she walks out. She walks out of the room, and she does the Lifetime thing where she looks at the big giant iPad and she looks at the address. So we know where she's going.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see the mom, and she's looking at, like, she's very upset about the accident. She's looking at a family album with baby pictures of the little girl.
Do people actually put photos in albums still? I mean that genuinely. I don't know. I don't think they do.
I mean, I have some old ones from my mom, but they were old ones.
But yeah, now, but we're of a certain age. I'm talking, like, if you're a parent of a kid that was born since the invention of the iPhone, which this kid was, would you be putting photos in an album, physical album?
Maybe. She's not sure.
That's a good question.
I don't know if people do that or not. I've been rummaging around in people's homes enough, but it's a nice idea.
And then there was a letter in the back of the album. It turned out to be the birth certificate. But I guess since the little girl was adopted, all of the parents' information, like the birth parents' information, was blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make sense. It doesn't comport with something that's said later in the movie.
No, I agree. Because the thing is now that, like, now that my husband and I are adopting, so I'm kind of knowledgeable about stuff like that. In certain states, if the birth mom or whoever wanted it closed, then when the kid turns 18, she gets another birth certificate if she wants it with the mom's information on it.
Yeah.
So that made sense.
But yeah, something comes up later, which I agree.
Yeah.
That stuff's getting messed up, though, with people doing Ancestry.com and stuff like that. They're starting to, people are starting to reconnect with their long lost parents.
Yeah, well, but that those are usually in cases where the kid isn't actually adopted.
What's that?
Those usually happen in cases where the kids aren't adopted, where like just like a dad was diddling around or something.
No, I know somebody. No, I know some where that happened. I know a woman who is like in her 40s. She gave up a kid for adoption. She had a kid when she was like 13, and through one of those services, she found her daughter.
No, my husband found his biological father through Ancestry.com just like a couple of months ago. And it's all through Ancestry.
Which, by the way, if you'd like to advertise Ancestry.com, we are open to it.
Yes.
Or 23andMe, either one of you.
But yeah, he found his birth father through that. So it happens for sure. So where were we? Oh, so then we find out that the mom is like, so the mom's feeling guilty. The husband is like, you know what? It wasn't your fault. It was a blown tire. It could have happened to anybody. Are you taking your medication? So it's like, okay, she's on meds. We know there's issues. There's past issues happening with this family.
Mm-hmm. I loved the way this movie didn't just beat you over the head with information that you're going to need to know later, but they were kind of sly about how they just worked it into dialogue or into beats in the film.
Yeah. So then we're at the nurse's house. And another thing about this movie, they loved their wine.
Oh my God, did they?
They love their wine.
It's drinking in solidarity right now.
So she's sitting at home. She's drinking wine, and then she goes into this bedroom, and it's like a little girl's bedroom.
Like, I wrote the nurse is at home, has a baby pic and a birth certificate and wine. Do the math.
Yeah,
like we knew where this is going, and I was all in.
So, that's so funny. And I wrote here, crying with a glass of wine, never a good sign.
And she climbed in the kid's bed, too.
So then the next day, we go back to the hospital. The little girl is fine. Like, she's hurt, but she's fine. Her mom shows up with her assistant. And
what's that, Kurt?
Karen, the assistant.
Yeah.
Karen.
She's like a gangly kind of woman.
Why do you think she was gangly? What do you mean?
What's that?
Gangly in what way? I'm not quite sure I understand how you mean that towards her.
I'd have to physically kind of do it. She kind of walked around.
Oh, she did have sort of an interesting a posture. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it wasn't even like super, super weird, but she was a taller woman. So I think she was probably growing up as a kid, wasn't super comfortable in her skin. It is sort of carried into adulthood.
That's gangly.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So then Karen is heading to work. So she goes into the hall. She's a little turned around. She asks our psycho nurse for directions.
No, she didn't ask the psycho nurse. She asked another nurse. Psycho nurse was standing talking to other nurse back to us, back to Karen, but bracelet fully visible.
Right. It's so
weird.
So the bracelet kind of goes bling.
Yeah,
and we know this is going to be important later too.
I won't forget that bracelet.
Ooh. So then the little girl's mother, Sam, her name is Sam. Sam needs to hire a nurse. And so
And this is one of those details that they kept beating the audience over the head with. They kept mentioning Better Healthcare California. Oh, you could get a nurse. Like, Karen just knew, where, like, off the top of her head, Not only knew it off the top of her head, but later in the movie calls them without looking up the number. Better Healthcare California.
This is a messed up portrayal of the healthcare system. Yeah. I think the healthcare system may be worse than the way they're showing it. Yeah. Which is even
So Sam calls Better Healthcare California, and we find out that a nurse named Rebecca Taylor is available.
Another detail they get beaten us over the head with.
So, of course, while Sam's on the phone, she's on the loudest phone call ever. Because you can hear the person on the other line as clear as if the person was in the room.
And of course, so, crazy nurse hears it all. And hears like, Rebecca Taylor. Like, they said Rebecca Taylor on the call. Her name is Rebecca Taylor. Rebecca Taylor is going to call. Be on the lookout for Rebecca Taylor. Yeah.
Rebecca Taylor, please.
And so the nurse.
Patient confidentiality.
And
so the nurse, who's not even in the room, hears the entire thing. And then she does what nurses on Lifetime do. She then goes and falsifies some records. She calls into work and says, you know, my grandma's sick and she's 92, so I need to take care of her. And of course they were like, oh, okay, you need a few days off. Oh, we get it. So there you go.
And Better Healthcare California didn't just have Rebecca Taylor's general biography or resume online in terms of like what her background is with healthcare. They had her full resume with full contact info. I'm talking like address and phone number was listed on their website.
Yeah.
All you had to do was press the button and print it out.
Lifetime villain was lacking a little bit, because normally a Lifetime villain would go to Rebecca Taylor's house and kill her. But this woman just called in pretending to be Sam and tells Better Health, I don't need Rebecca after all. And then goes and takes Rebecca's job.
She also skipped over the other Lifetime job-seeking skill, which is going to someone's house and aiming a gun at them so they can pretend to be your reference.
True. True. That's very true.
I mean, where has she learned her job-seeking skills?
I just picture her telling her friends, like, oh, I got a new job. Like, oh, my gosh, what did you do? She's like, well, I updated my LinkedIn, and I threatened somebody with murder.
Right. So then they bring the little girl home. They put her in the guest room. They had, like, a little welcome home sign for her. And then all of a sudden, the doorbell rings and Sam opens the door and our villain says, hi, I'm Rebecca Taylor.
Rebecca Taylor's real name is Maggie, by the way. And Maggie slash fake Rebecca has great crazy eyes.
Oh, she's got amazing crazy eyes.
I ain't going to work on Maggie's farm no more.
So Sam was like, oh, we weren't expecting you until tomorrow. And fake Rebecca's like, oh, well, I came a day early. And then so then they start having a conversation. And Sam
just unleashes all the wrong information.
Yes. Yes. Because first fake Rebecca's like, were you driving? And she says, I was. And I wrote, uh-oh.
You're
in trouble now.
Fake Rebecca right out of the gate was gaslighting the fuck out of Sam. I loved it. Like, it's terrible in real life, but in a Lifetime movie, you kind of expect it. And it was amazing.
Then they're talking. And then she asks her, do you cook? And Sam's like, no, I'm too busy to cook. And once again, I wrote, uh-oh, this nurse is going to, like, mess up your food.
Soy allergy.
Oh, and soy allergy.
And then fake Rebecca asks about, like, oh, what other meds are you on?
Right?
Any other allergies that you have?
And then she's
like,
And then she was like, "I said, what do you take for your allergy?" And so within 5 minutes, fake Rebecca had all of the information she needed to kill her.
Yeah. Where are your most prominent arteries while we're at it?
Well, she would know that. Fake Rebecca would know that. She's a nurse.
That's true.
So then, of course, she then says, you know, she throws out the line once again. She said to the little girl, "You look tired." And then, like, the little girl was, like, sitting outside in the sun. And then fake Rebecca's like, you know, she shouldn't be out in the sun. She should be laying down the entire time. She should be resting.
I like when Sam introduced fake Rebecca to the daughter, Cassie. She was talking so slow to Cassie, like Cassie was a moron, like, right. or like Cassie had some sort of learning disability. She's like, "This is Rebecca. She's our new friend." Like, it was so funny because it was so slow. Like, they needed to fill time in the movie.
So then, Sam is like, "Oh, well, wow, Rebecca, you know, you came a day early." And then Rebecca's like, "I just happen to have my bag in the car, so I can stay now."
I need my overnight bag. I always carry my overnight bag. Hey, bad idea, though, this Sam. I saw this already. This was a problem because they're not, you know, they got nothing on me. You don't hire a hot nurse or
no
keeper or Notary Public. You don't hire any hot woman to work in the house if you've got a husband around. And then the nurse, she says the husband's handsome. I would have said, "You're fired. Get out. That's enough."
Right.
I actually thought in that moment that we were going to later find out that Sam somehow knew her. I thought we were going to find out that somehow Sam had a past with this woman, or maybe he was somehow... Yeah, somehow connected to her, and I won't get into that now because we haven't learned that detail yet in the course of the movie.
No.
So then the dad came home, and I kind of had it. At first, I didn't think he was that good looking, and then later on in the movie, I realized he actually was good looking. He just had really bad hair.
He did have bad hair. It was like greasy.
Like, yeah, because once I get a look at him again, I'm like, "Oh, well, no, he's actually not bad looking. It's just his hair's, like, gross."
Yeah.
His wife said a lot of women like him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And, she's going. So then the nurse goes into the bathroom, right? And so, of course, because she's throwing out all of, like, the antihistamines.
Which is what she uses for... Now, I don't know much about allergies, but antihistamines help with an allergy? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, like Benadryl.
Well, that's if I have the pollen count's a little high, and it's kind of... it's not making me die, but it's stuffing up my nose, but... We see an allergic reaction later in this movie that is somehow supposed to be stopped by taking an antihistamine that's going to take 20 minutes to kick in, really?
Yeah. Benadryl than antihistamine and use it for allergies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the part, though, where she's going through the drugs and then she looks and she's like, "Antidepressants. Shocking."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she flushes them down the toilet,
mm-hmm.
and replaces them with aspirin. And so then she finds a gun. She finds a gun, and I love how she handled the gun box. Like, she was very like she laid it down very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is weird though. Also, does she find a robe in there, and then she goes out and buys the exact same robe?
I think that is what, yeah. I'm not giving too much away, but like later in the movie, she's caught wearing the robe, and it turns out the robe is still in Sam's drawer. So it clearly, Crazy Eyes, fake Rebecca, went and bought the same robe to kind of, again, gaslight Sam.
Right. So then Rebecca, like, she looks at the gun, and then Rebecca does, and I was like, okay, I'm in. It's officially a Lifetime movie. Yep. She puts up a big, giant, hidden camera in the corner.
Yeah, it's about ready to fall down. It's
some sort of like wall hanging, some sort of sculpture or whatever. Yeah. And she puts it on the sculpture. Imagine like if the sculpture were shaped like, say, like a family crest. So it's got like an unusual shape to the outside, and then there are pieces on the inside that are very distinct. And she just put the camera on top of one of those inside pieces. It's going to stick out like a sore thumb, and it did, because it was the size of a hand.
Yeah, it was huge.
Is there a camera in a family crest? I guess so.
I don't know if it was family crest, but it was some sort of wall hanging where like the camera stood out when she put it on there.
This thing looked like one of the cameras that James Cameron used for the underwater footage of the Titanic documentary.
Oh, this is like the cameras that they used on the Ed Sullivan Show. Like, it was so huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
Like, she had to bring in a boom operator.
Right.
We always missed this one. Yeah, this took the cake.
So then Karen comes over, and Karen is all of us, because Karen's like, you hired an attractive nurse to stay in your house. And then we find out husband has had a history with messing around.
Mm-hmm. I like gangly women. Yeah, I know. And you hear that. It's like, well, so you just hired a hot nurse to work in your house. All right. Well, you're going to reap what you sow.
Yeah. Karen was looking at her like,
dumbbell.
Are you kidding me? Because the nurse was hot. She was hot.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Yeah. Also, we find out that they didn't refer to it as a drinking problem, but they said that his hard drinking is in the past.
Yes.
So any drinking he should be doing in this movie should be like, maybe a glass of wine with dinner.
And so it was funny. So Karen was almost kind of like, you know, like, you need to get it together, Sam. Get it together.
Yes, get it.
So then, and then I wrote here too, because then Sam calls her husband and says that she's going to be late. And I wrote her in my notes, no, if you have a hot nurse in your house, you bring your work home and you work from home.
Yeah, you do. You start working from home like that's the coronavirus. I mean,
right.
Forget the fact that she should be worried about her husband's wandering eye and other body parts. She just met this woman she thinks is Rebecca Taylor and immediately is like, oh, I'm going to leave you with her. Even though you just showed up at my house, I'm going to leave you with her and I'm going to go to work right now. Like,
yeah.
What is this woman's job? Is she able to, I'm surprised she knows she can figure out how to drive a car. I guess she does have some problems with that. What is her job?
Something to do with contracts, either maybe a lawyer or a real estate, who knows?
You could go over those contracts in your home office.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point she had to go to the office to sign them. I'm like, what year is this?
Right? Yeah, we have internet. You could just get
although
online.
She is old-fashioned, and she's printing out those photos and putting them in an old album. So maybe she just is bad with technology.
That's right? Because it's like
a printer at the office.
It's like, Sam, you could hop on your phone and check all the emails you want.
She's like, Rebecca, I'm going to this place called Kinko's. Have you heard of it?
Right. Right. And get mimeographs.
Great, yeah.
Remember mimeographs and they'd smell?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's a mimeograph. Oh.
Before Xerox copy, when we were really little in school, they would make copies with this kind of like... it was a machine that it was almost like every copy was a carbon paper copy. So it was like purple ink and it had a very distinct smell to it.
And whenever you get it, whenever like the entire class would pick up the paper and like smell it.
Yeah.
Carbon, like carbon paper. You write on the paper. You have carbon
kind
paper
of between. Like that, except doing it in larger numbers. So,
and
you know,
wet.
Yeah, it would be. It was almost like a mini printing press, and so to print out each copy instead of like using that Xerox machine, which uses like a mirror and glass and stuff, it made the copy a different way, and then every copy was like fresh and smelled so good.
Yeah, and when you got like that, like for the first 5 minutes that you had it, it would be wet.
Well, I don't remember that.
Maybe your school was really progressive and had Xerox out of the gate.
Right. He's like, I went to a fancy school. We had a Xerox machine already.
I remember a Xerox.
I lived in the future. We had iPads when I was little.
Right. So the husband shows up with Chinese takeout. Mm-hmm. And, before he's on the phone and he's like, I'm going to buy Chinese takeout. And she's like, remember, no soy sauce because I'm allergic to soy.
We know.
Audience, I've got to make sure you know this. Mm-hmm. And so he shows up with his Chinese food, and the hot nurse is like, he walks in and he's like, oh, it smells good in here. And the hot nurse is in the kitchen with a hot outfit cooking a hot meal.
That's a bad combination.
This is actually Sam's fault, though, because it had already been established to Sam that Rebecca is going to cook, because Rebecca shaded the fact that she wasn't making home-cooked meals. So wouldn't Sam be like, oh, maybe you don't need Chinese because she might make dinner?
Right.
Yeah, this is... This wife, I mean, Ben really have a problem. Sam is just making it worse.
Yeah.
But then the nurse tells the husband that Chinese food is always better a day later. It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. That's kind of a...
It is, totally.
That's noodles on one plate.
I'm not saying it's necessarily true, but I'm saying that's a common stereotype about Chinese food is the leftovers are kind of fun to have.
You eat them for breakfast, yeah. And then you take the you take the noodles and you put them in the air fryer, and then they're crispy again.
Air fryer.
Yes.
See that? That's too much work.
I'm really learning about
Chinese food. I would microwave it. I would not air fry it. That's too much work.
See, because if I don't like it when it's like soggy, and so I like the noodles when they're like kind of crunchy.
Well, for me though, if I'm ordering Chinese food, it's because I don't want to have to take the time and effort to cook it. And if I'm using the air fryer, that's going to take time and effort.
Okay, fair enough.
Food. I'm hungry. I'm eating it then.
Yeah,
that's not silly. Oh,
so the nurse, the first thing she does is she gives the husband a glass of wine. And once again, I wrote, uh-oh.
So this woman, you've hired her to come into your home and care for your child. And she's just there boozing it up while she's making dinner. Like, I drink a glass of wine while I'm making dinner, but I'm single and I don't have kids. I don't know that I'd be – maybe a glass if I had a kid. Maybe two. But she's – paid to be there to take care of the kids, and she's just drinking by herself.
But see, she's hot, so that kind of mesmerized him.
Yeah, she's getting away with a lot. Does she really need to be there all the time?
No. This kid wasn't paralyzed. This kid was like, you know, she had like a broken arm and leg. Like, she'll be fine.
Yeah. Exactly. What is she doing? I never even thought of this. What is she doing with the kid at all? She doesn't have to like bathe the kid or anything.
Well, because I can see during the day while the parents are at work.
So she's a babysitter.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of, but yeah. Because I could see while the parents were at work her being there, but not when the parents came home.
Right.
You know, they don't need a nurse. She doesn't have an IV. She's not getting like medication injected into her.
No.
Well.
I am starting to see holes in this story.
The kid did call the nurse a pill pusher.
Kid wasn't wrong.
The kid called her.
I mean, why do we hire a nurse? Why don't we just hire a nanny? Wouldn't that be a lot cheaper?
But then they were talking about the drugs, and then the they're talking about drugs, and then the nurse came and gave her more drugs.
Well, the nurse is giving her more pills, and Cassie, you know, called her a pill pusher or whatever, and then fake Rebecca snaps and it's like, don't talk to your mother like that.
Oops.
I was like, well, oops. Yeah.
And I like the fact that this little kid was not dumb.
No, the little kid's the smartest person in the movie. She obviously she's adopted.
Yeah.
Because the little kid was like, wait, what? And then she covered, but I think that's part of the reason why, like, she kept this kid, like, hopped up on drugs.
Oh, yeah. She kept giving her drugs to make her sleep.
Yeah. Oh, and so then she's talking to the little girl, and of course, like all little kids, they're like, hey, let's take a selfie. So they take a selfie, which is important later. Mm-hmm. So then
this way, and I didn't realize it when we watched the movie that that's actually a mark against this movie is actually taking a photo with the child, because usually a Lifetime movie, the villain scratches somebody else's face out of a photo.
Oh, true.
Yeah, that's another thing to do.
She'd be drinking wine, but yeah, she'd be scratching the head off of the picture.
Yeah, scratched out.
Or like bad Photoshop, putting her own head in somebody else's family. She didn't do that.
Oh,
either.
that's a major trope.
That's why they need physical photos. They can, you know, for the option of scratching things out. Sometimes at the photo lab, they say, "Could you? I'll throw in a couple extra bucks. Could you scratch out a couple faces?"
This is okay. Right. So you know how I've suggested in the past that Lifetime needs to come out with their own chloroform wipes instead of like hand wipes. It's like chloroform wipes. I also think that to market their movies, they need to come out with some sort of like Snapchat or Facebook Stories filter where you could take a photo of you and somebody else and a scratch it and it like cuts out their face and puts like the villain's face in the photo.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Good idea. We could do that.
That would be cool. Oh, wait. So Sam comes home and the husband and the hot nurse, Rebecca, are in the backyard yucking it up, drinking wine.
Yeah, having a good old time.
And then...
and this is where fake Rebecca is wearing what we think is Sam's robe.
Right. And Sam is pissed. And Sam is like, how could you? And then...
Oh, I'm tired. What am I supposed to do? I got to talk to her?
Right. She's like, and then she's like, you shouldn't be hanging out with the nurse.
I'd win that argument.
And she's wearing my robe. And then Sam runs upstairs. She goes into the nurse's drawer. And guess what? Sam looked stupid because the robe was in the drawer. And
she apologizes.
And you know who saw the whole fight go down? Fake Rebecca on the giant ass hidden camera.
Yes,
that's right.
And then the husband says, "You haven't worn that robe in a long time. You haven't worn anything like that in a long time."
Oh yeah, damn! I'll tell you what. When the job's over, she's got to return that camera to the. Museum of TV and film.
So we realize they're not getting it in.
Yeah.
No, that's right. You haven't worn anything hot in a while. That's low. He already won the fight. He already won. He's got to push that in.
Well, and then she's like, Tom, I'm sorry. And he just goes, you said that. It was so cold.
Damn. See,
I'd
be okay winning the argument, but I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't be mean about it.
Yeah. And yeah, fake Rebecca's watching this, drinking a glass of wine.
Well, I mean, it's a good, like, if I'm watching a movie that's been shot in 70 millimeter, I want to, like, sit back and relax.
So then, the husband's doing the dishes.
Yeah, I got the camera.
So the husband's doing the dishes, and fake Rebecca comes in wearing just a t-shirt.
Yeah,
just an oversized t-shirt.
Not even oversized.
Two, maybe three dishes. All right, because they like two people ate. Maybe the kid ate. And like, how long does it take to? It's like two dishes. You know, the kid didn't even eat.
Kid didn't eat. Hungry. You could have just covered that up with some Saran wrap and call it a day.
This is like some kind of like obsessive compulsive behavior. So they cleaned two dishes for an hour.
So then they're talking, and then Rebecca says to the husband, "I'll take care of you. I'm sure you will think of something. Men always do."
That would worry me.
And slithers out of the room.
And then rather than jumping horny Rebecca's bones, Tom accidentally breaks a plate.
He does. He breaks half of their plates.
Yeah.
So then, next day, she's making breakfast. And then the husband walks in. And Rebecca's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry about last night. I hope you didn't take what I said the wrong way." And he's like, "Oh, no, you're fine." Oh, and then she's like, "Oh, well, that's too bad."
Boy, it's trouble.
So then this is where the gaslighting gets really good. Because the little girl was like, "Mom, can I sit outside?" And the nurse had told Sam, you know what, it's not good for her to sit outside. So when she asks Sam, Sam's like, "Oh, honey, I don't think so." And then Rebecca's like, "Yeah, you can sit outside, sure."
Mm-hmm. Why would it be not good for her to sit outside? Does she have like a skin condition where like sun is going to melt the skin off her skull?
No, she was just drugging her.
Well, she was a redhead, so she probably is more sensitive to light. Skin. But earlier in the movie, fake Rebecca used it to gaslight Sam, like, "Oh, you shouldn't let her be outside in a wheelchair being all independent. She could fall out of that chair." So. Yes. Then she gets to turn around and be like, "I'll be the good cop and let you sit outside."
Plus, right. The ground is not quite level. She may end up rolling into the street. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then Karen shows up at the house. And Sam introduces Karen to fake Rebecca. And fake Rebecca Sam looks at fake Rebecca's wrist, and she recognizes the bracelet.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you think it was weird that fake Rebecca hit it? Like, fake Rebecca never saw Karen before, because when Karen was in fake Rebecca's presence, fake Rebecca's back was to Karen, so she's never laid an eye on her, doesn't know that Karen spotted this bracelet.
Right. So attention, attention, all best friends, personal assistants, maids who were there before the villain started working there, and everybody else. Attention. Everybody. I have an announcement to make. Get a poker face. Get a poker face. If you don't get a poker face, it will get you killed. Because Karen gave fake Rebecca a weird look and looked at that bracelet, and that's what ended up doing her in, because Rebecca noticed.
Yeah.
Get a poker face.
One more. Right now.
So then Sam is talking to Karen about her doubts and like, "I don't know about this one." And then Karen's like, "You know, that bracelet looks familiar to me." And then Karen then has fake Rebecca's resume.
Yeah,
someone's resume.
Well, she found it on the Better Healthcare California website, which posted the entire resume. And Karen, instead of using a massively large iPad, takes a photo of it with her phone, like a normal person.
Welcome to 2021. Yeah.
I wrote that you must love her because she was snooping right out of the gate.
Oh, I did love her. And up until a point, she followed all the rules pretty well up until a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then fake Rebecca gives the little girl a birthday gift. And the little girl's like, "Well, no, my birthday's next month." And so then fake Rebecca's like, "Oh, well, it's early." And so it's a framed picture of fake Rebecca and the little girl and Cassie. The little girl's name is Cassie. So it's a picture of fake Rebecca and Cassie.
That was a good reveal of information, though, for fake Rebecca to assume that Cassie's birthday was coming up soon, and Cassie's like, it's a month away. That was important.
Yeah, yeah. So then, you know, there's more sedatives involved.
Yeah, where'd you get all these sedatives? That's us. Saying she must have like bought these at Costco or something, because I mean she was right.
Well, she had access to a hospital. Yeah. She probably snuck in the hospital.
All right, I guess.
Yeah, of all the logic holes in this movie, that's a tiny one.
Yeah. All right.
Or knowing her, she is crazy. She is crazy, so you never knew how many drugs she probably had stashed in her house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe she had a prescription.
Oh, so then she's talking to Cassie, and Cassie's like, "Do you have any kids?" And she's like, "Oh, I have I had a daughter." Mm-hmm. And then Cassie goes to sleep. So then Karen drops Sam off, and then Sam comes in and she says to fake Rebecca, "You know, this is weird. Cassie's sleeping way too much." And then she notices the picture.
Yeah.
And then she goes to talk to fake Rebecca, and she's like, "Well, what's up with the photo? What's going on here?" And fake Rebecca's like, "Oh, well, Cassie asked for it." And she's like, and then fake Rebecca's like, "I need to run out for a bit." And then Karen is taking pictures, yeah, with her cell phone. And she gets caught by Rebecca. That's why when you do your pictures, pro tip, you do it from like your hip so they don't see you taking the pictures.
Yeah.
Right. She asks her, hey, Rebecca asks Karen about the husband. She said, "Is he a cheater?"
Yep.
And then Karen asks fake Rebecca if she has any kids. And fake Rebecca's like, yeah, my baby died right after my baby daddy ran off. That's why I thought she might have been connected to Tom somehow. I thought that was actually Tom's kid and that Sam didn't know it, but that wasn't the case.
So Karen's snooping skills, she started out strong. I was very proud of her in the beginning because she started out she was suspicious. But she didn't say anything to anybody. So I'm like, okay, very good. You hold that to the vest. So she doesn't tell her boss, but she leaves. But then, because she didn't have a poker face, fake Rebecca was watching her and giving her the stink eye. So it was only a matter of time until Karen dies. And then Karen goes to the hospital. She lies to the nurse, and she's asking about Rebecca Taylor, and the nurse is like, "I don't know who you're talking about." And then she whips out the picture on her cell phone, and the nurse is like, "Oh, well, that's Margaret." So then Karen goes and calls the service, and
Better Health California. They mentioned it like 20 times.
Better Health California, and she asks. She asks the person on the phone about Rebecca Taylor, and the person on the phone is like, "Oh, well, no, yes, she's available right now." And then Karen says, "Well, wait a minute, no, she's working for my friend." And then the nurse or the person on the other line was like, "Well, you know, nurses do that sometimes. They're not supposed to, so I'm going to have to turn her in, but it does happen." Which was very smart because now the truth's going to come out. Because, and then she asks, "Oh, and how old is Rebecca Taylor?" And the person's like, "Oh, she's like 50. And so, boom, because the fake Rebecca Taylor is what, like 25 at most?
She's like in her 30s. She's probably in her 30s because the child that she lost or had to give up that is the same age as Cassie. He's 10. So, yeah, she's probably early 30s. Yeah.
So then, once again, Sam is talking to Rebecca. Oh, first, Karen gets in the car, and it's like, ugh, when you're snooping, don't snoop alone, because Karen got in her car, and she got strangled by fake Rebecca.
Rebecca's right in the back seat with a cord.
Or if you're snooping, look in the back seat before you get in the car.
I felt bad. Oh, go ahead, Kurt. I'm sorry.
Snooping. Use public transportation.
Yeah. I felt bad for Karen, and this goes to your point, Kurt, because she had rock star parking. Like, at a hospital, you don't normally get to park that close. And she wasn't parked in the, like, ambulance drop-off zone. She just had a spot right up front, and she loses it because she gets killed.
Now, if I was to grade Karen snooping, actually, Karen would get, like, a B+. She would get a B+.
She did pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, but see, here's the deal. Like, so she would have gotten an A if she would have survived the whole movie, but then when you get killed, it knocks you down a grade.
True. Yeah. Although she should have had a fighting chance, because if you're going to get murdered, or at least attempted murder on you, you want it to happen at a hospital.
True.
Like, that's the place where, like, you've got a fighting chance to get through it.
Yeah,
that's right. They find you.
Yeah. Like, if this happened at a cemetery, then...
It's like, well, game over.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
But efficient.
So we're back in the house. Rebecca is talking to Sam. Sam's in the other room. Rebecca takes out some soy milk. And then she takes the dairy milk out of the refrigerator. And I love this. Because a lot of times in these movies, they'll spike something or they'll do something, but they'll spike it in a way that you're like, oh, that person would have tasted that if they drank it. But what Rebecca did is the milk was half full, and so she just poured a little bit of the soy milk in mostly dairy and shook it up so that, like...
I feel like... And you're... Are you a vegetarian, Les?
Yes.
Okay, so you're somebody that probably thinks soy milk tastes like regular milk, and I'm here to tell you it does not.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because I would have noticed that immediately. I would have taken a sip of that and been like, this doesn't taste... I may not have known it was soy, but I would have known it tasted funny.
She mixed it with the regular milk because, like, I drink almond milk, but every now and then I will drink dairy. And, like, cow's milk is way more powerful than soy milk or oat milk or almond milk. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she mixed it with the regular milk, that taste would overpower the soy milk. Because she put a little bit. She didn't put a lot in there. She put a tiny bit.
Yeah, but also Sam put it in coffee or tea, and that diluted it even more.
Okay.
That's true, because, the coffee, overpowers the taste of the milk.
Yeah. Do people have that strong of an allergy to something that they just have a little tiny bit in there?
Peanuts.
Yeah.
I guess peanuts, yeah. It depends on the thing, because that's also usually how they wean you out of having an allergy, is they expose you to microdoses of something. I mean, that's essentially what a vaccine is. It exposes you to microdoses of whatever the thing is you're being vaccinated for, so your body can build up an immunity to it.
Well, and actually, there was this person once who was allergic to fish, and they were sitting next to someone who was eating fish. They weren't eating fish, but, like, the aroma from the fish actually made them sick and made them have a reaction to it. Yeah. So.
But was it the kind of reaction we see in this movie? Because this is a...
No.
Crazy.
No.
Which, again, the antihistamines that you swallow are supposed to just make that go away? I don't know.
Yeah, no, because she goes into anaphylactic shock.
You have to get a shot of something. I don't know.
Yeah, the EpiPen. Yeah. You have to EpiPen. Because she goes into full-on anaphylactic shock. And so the funny thing is fake Rebecca was kind of smart because she pretended to go and get the antihistamines. And she's like, oh, they're right here. But there was aspirin in them. And so Sam is pretty much almost dead. Tom comes home. And then what happened is Tom's like, what about your inhaler? And then fake Rebecca's like, an inhaler? Shit.
I'll go throw it out. I mean, I'll go get it.
Yeah. I did like this sort of thwarted, damn it, I should have seen that one coming. But I also thought it was funny because, like, she went through all that trouble, like that very fun to watch beat earlier in the movie of her throwing out the antihistamines and putting aspirin in the bottle, and yet Sam never even goes in the bathroom and never sees the bottle. It's Rebecca getting the fake antihistamines for her. So, like, we didn't need that beat earlier in the movie.
Right. That was, he's like, where's your inhaler? And she's like, God damn it. Yeah. fake Rebecca gives Sam some sedatives to knock her out.
Yeah.
More sedatives.
Then she puts on a sexy outfit. And then she's mixing cocktails.
Yeah, she pours like scotch or something.
Yeah, but scotch, which he wasn't supposed to have anyway.
Well, he's not supposed to have the hard alcohol at all. And the fact that they even have it in the house is sort of surprising.
Right. Well, no, I don't drink and we keep alcohol in the house.
It was in her overnight bag. But, you know, did you also hear fake Rebecca pretty much admitted that she gave her soy? Like, she said something like, sometimes there's allergies, like soy. You may accidentally have soy.
Oh, I didn't take that as her admitting. I took that as her trying to put the blame on, it could have literally been anything.
Yes, like soy, for example.
Yeah.
So she mixes cocktails. She puts a little poison in.
When she hands it to him, he says, what's this? Like, okay, you used to have a drinking problem to the point where you had an affair on your wife, and you're going to act like you don't know what a glass of alcohol is? Dumbass.
Right. So here's a question, drinkers.
Yes.
Wouldn't you taste something like if she put, like, poison or something bitter in your drink? Wouldn't you kind of taste it?
Most likely, yes. If it were like, if that was like a scotch whiskey, that's a pretty strong taste on its own, similar to like how this soy would be kind of overpowered by the milk and the tea or whatever. Right. I would think if it wasn't a huge dose of whatever that was that she put in there, it might be overpowered by the actual alcohol.
Cause it looked like she put a lot in there.
I don't think it was poison. It was probably some sort of roofie. But roofie, the date rape drug is, GHB is like a liquid form. And in movies, it's always in a powder. And I've never understood that.
I think it's the same thing she's giving the little girl. It's like sedative.
Yeah, it might be.
She's probably.
But the little girl gets to just drink it as a pill.
We also find out that Tom hadn't eaten any dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I wouldn't make that mistake.
So,
what about that Chinese food?
Oh, good.
That was a couple of days ago.
No.
So then they're drinking. They're talking. They're drinking. She's in her sexy outfit. He's roofied, so he passes out.
Right.
And then what does she do? She whips out the cell phone and starts snapping selfies. Mm-hmm. Like they do in our Lifetime movies where they drug the husband.
Oh, can you imagine if they drug someone in a Hallmark movie?
So then they
drug them so they can make them celebrate Christmas.
Right. They get through the shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, so she starts taking the selfies and then she goes onto his cell phone and then blocks numbers.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, what was that about? Beat.
I didn't understand what happened in that moment. And I didn't understand its relevance to anything else later in the movie either.
Yeah. maybe they cut a scene.
Yeah, possibly.
Also, we should explain why she's taking a selfie. She's like gets on top of him and starts acting like she's like getting along with him. She's taking selfies, which we've seen before in other movies. Yeah.
And then I like, though, before she left, she like took some alcohol and put it on his neck.
Yeah, like it was cologne. I actually loved that. It was so creepy. Yeah, it's like she dipped her finger in his roofie laden scotch. And did she lick it too?
Did she lick her finger? So wait,
you're roofing yourself, dumbass, and then you're gonna like rub it on his neck seductively before you go to sleep.
Well, that meant her work was done. Yes. It was like her calling, like don't serial killers have a calling card? That was like her calling card.
Yeah, but it doesn't usually involve slightly killing themselves too.
True. So the next day, Tom has the guilty, holy shit, what did I do in a blackout last night? Look on his face.
Great.
And then fake Rebecca goes up to him and she's like, I won't say anything if you don't. And so then someone from BetterHelp, California.
BetterHelp, California.
BetterHelp. Someone from BetterHelp, California shows up at the house. Yeah. Because, you know, to check up on, to see who's actually there. And, well, poor thing, she was killed.
Yeah, well, fake Rebecca is like walking her around the house. She's trying to keep the ruse going, and then she just starts choking this woman. This is an older woman, and while she's choking her, somebody, I think Cassie's yelling like, "Fake Rebecca, right there! I'm choking an old woman right now."
Right, that's right. She starts coming downstairs or something, and then fake Rebecca kind of intercepts her.
Fake Rebecca was like worn out too. Like she's been killing a lot of people. So like killing the woman from BetterHelp, California, she was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot.
Right.
Yeah. That's a busy week. I mean, you're working around the clock, plus you're choking people, plus you're drugging people. Mm-hmm. You don't really have a lot of time to sit and reflect.
Well, I feel like fake Rebecca had good time management skills because she did have an enormously large iPad.
Yes.
She's probably able to plan really well, can probably vision board on that thing.
Yeah, we don't know what she was doing on there. All right, I guess we can. There's no reason for us to not think of her in the
system. So this next part, this cop needs to be fired. This cop needs to be fired.
Why do you say that?
This is the worst cop I have ever seen. Ever.
She needs to be defunded. Okay.
She does. She does. Okay. She sucked.
Number one reason why she should be defunded is because she wasn't played by Vivica Fox.
No, that's first. That's for because that was a Vivica A. Fox role for sure. So she comes out. So the cop comes over and she tells Sam Karen's dead, you know, and then Sam like then checks her messages. Oh, Sam checked messages. There were no messages. And then the cop is like, check your deleted messages. And then she's checked her deleted messages, and there were messages from Karen.
I did like – I thought that was the one moment where the cop was good, was the cop is like, just because it's not shown up in your, like, main folder, there's that deleted folder on the iPhone you can go look at.
Yeah. Cop's like, don't you watch Lifetime movies?
She's like, I've been watching you on that giant camera. You've been streaming on Twitch for a week.
Right? Yeah. So then –
So then Sam gets money, your Patreon account, for God's sake. Can you see my name?
So then Sam goes to check on Cassie, but the cop's like, oh, nobody's home. And then Rebecca has Cassie out of the house. She's telling Cassie about her daughter. Then she tells her the whole story about how she got pregnant, her husband left her, she wanted to go to nursing school, so she sold her daughter. And then
that's some heavy shit to lay at the feet of a 10-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. What a lovely lunch.
Right.
Cassie, we're going to do one of your favorite things ever as I tell you some stuff that's going to traumatize you.
Right. And then Cassie takes a selfie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then back at the house, Sam is like, holy shit, she's taken my daughter. And the cop is like, whatever.
Yeah, you probably overreact.
Man, my shift is over. So, listen, we're getting into overtime. Like, and I'm not approved for that.
Like, hey, yes. You who know somebody that's just been murdered, you're probably overreacting to these other things. Maybe she's underreacting. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
And the cop looked at her. She's like, okay, so the person who you're thinking, you know, might have potentially murdered my daughter, murdered Karen, has kidnapped my daughter from my home, and you just blow me off and gaslight me and make me look like I'm crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of, it was kind of jarring almost. She's like, I no longer care.
Right. Right. And then she totally tries to gaslight her, because then she's like, well, are you sure you didn't give them permission to take your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my God. So then Sam calls Tom, and back at the Birds Cafe, where Cassie and fake Rebecca were, the barista in this cafe wins the Park Ranger Award.
Oh, yeah, they definitely went to the Park Ranger School of Acting.
That's not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
And this guy,
and that's like how he said his burnout.
This guy looked like such a burnout. I think he was he's probably like a bookie that they owe money to, so they gave him a part in this movie.
He looks like he's somebody that up until he booked this acting job, he would make his money as a Gary Busey impersonator.
Right.
He looks like, I hate this is being, but he looks like he's been a struggling actor for a little too long.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah. No, it's true.
Getting some gigs.
No.
Because he was.
He booked it.
That's not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
It's this in the Renaissance fair for him.
He either had blackmail on somebody or owed somebody a favor. Or maybe he owned the actual place.
He absolutely owned the cafe. Oh. No, he no. He didn't own it. He was an employee in real life at that cafe.
Right. And the actor probably called in, or the actor didn't show up, and they needed someone, so they're like, "Hey."
Yeah, there was a first string that called in sick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was bad.
Poor guy. He'll show us. He'll win the Oscar next year.
Oh, so then Sam goes home. She finds the pic of Tom passed out. Rebecca has a gun. And then Sam is like, how'd you get Tom's gun? And then fake Rebecca then starts talking about how Cassie's her daughter and how she was starved in giving up her daughter. And that's how, you know, Sam got Cassie. And then Sam's like, you dumb bitch. Cassie's mother was a French foreign exchange student.
Yeah, which means that she says that she and Tom have met the birth mom, which means that they would have had the name of the birth mom on the birth certificate.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a blind adoption.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, of course, Rebecca has a gun. Sam's like, oh, no, you're not. And so they start fighting for the gun. And Rebecca's beating the shit out of Sam.
Yeah, she really was.
She is, like, pounding her good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punching her in the face, kicking her in the ribs.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Like, beating the shit out of her. And so then, so the gun gets knocked away, and then Cassie comes downstairs, but remember, she has like a broken arm and a broken leg, so she's kind of mangled. And so,
but she's standing fighting, there.
And then she gets, Cassie gets the gun and slides the gun across the floor. And then Sam gets the gun. She shoots Rebecca. And Rebecca then dies.
I just like Cassie dragging her ass across the floor to go like hug her mom. I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but I did.
You know what worked out? You know what really worked out for these people is that that nurse, fake Rebecca, she, I guess she kind of, she pretty much worked for free, right? I mean, were they paying her? They couldn't have been, they could have been paying her. And
no, they were paying her directly because she even said at the beginning of the movie, like, oh, the agency will be in touch with you to like arrange payment. So she basically, you know, even circumvented getting herself paid, but she had free room and board and free food for that a week. And
But the medical expenses, I would hire a homicidal medical person. That means I didn't have to pay.
Long as you knew that they were going to die at the end and you wouldn't have to pay.
Well, if I knew that, but I don't know. Even if someone was a maniac and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm saving money on, I don't have to max out my deductible. It might be worth it.
Although the flip side of that is like, imagine your pharmacy bill. Cause she, like there were a lot of sedatives there. There's somebody's paying for that somewhere.
I still think Rebecca stole him from the hospital. Oh, wait a minute. So the cop comes back and I'm like, screw you, cop. I was pissed.
Well, because she just recapped everything that they did right. Like, they basically solved the crime, handed you the perp on a platter, and then you repeat back to them, like, oh, and this happened, and this happened. It's like, yeah, dumbass, I know, because we made it happen.
Right, after you gaslighted me.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
And then we just saw Rebecca laying on the floor dead.
And a close-up of the bracelet as if it was more important to the movie than it actually became.
Right. Yeah. The end. This was a good palate cleanser.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good year opener. It's a great movie to discuss on in inauguration day for a new beginning.
I liked it.
I'll bet President Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden are in the White House right now watching this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is how we need to begin.
Yeah.
They probably DVR'd it last night.
They probably did. They finally have time to watch it.
They wanted to watch something that was less lunacy than the past 4 years, and they got it, but just barely.
Barely. But good. This was a good one. This was a good note to start on. And then I like the fact, too, that, see, last year we made the mistake of starting off with a movie that was too good.
Yeah. It really did set the bar insanely high.
And we were ruined for the rest of the year because nothing matched Killer Contractor. So this was good because it was good, but it wasn't, like, spectacularly good. So we can raise the bar.
Yeah.
This Absolutely. Also wasn't our first movie of 2021. Whereas last year, Killer Contractor was the first movie we watched that entire year.
And here's the thing, though. Without revealing what the movies are, not to jinx ourselves, our next two Lifetime movies are going to be biopics.
Ooh, I think I know what they are.
Yes, you do. So I'll discuss this once we sign off. one of them is this weekend and one of them is next weekend. And it's two biopics in a row, which I normally wouldn't even care about, but they're both people who I really like. And I think they're going to be good.
Yes, they are Richard Grieco and Yaphet Kotto.
Right. Yaphet Kotto. Whatever happened to Yaphet Kotto?
He was in The Running Man, which I just watched.
Oh, wait a minute. Is he still with us?
I think so. He was an alien. Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't a lot.
Yeah. I think he is.
Let me Google him right now.
Okay. Check out Yakko Kotto. We need his biopic.
Because I'm surprised he's not doing Lifetime movies. Let's see. Yafet. Here we go. Yeah, Yafet Kotto. Okay. Boom, boom, ba-da, boom, boom, ba-da, boom.
All left.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? He's 81?
Yeah. Wasn't he in that movie Blue Collar with Richard Pryor?
Oh, I don't believe that Yafet Kotto is not with us anymore.
It says he's 81. Are you sure? Wikipedia's not saying.
Well, okay, so wait. So on Wikipedia, when it says years active, oh, wait.
That just means their career active.
What? Oh, okay. Then let's see. So maybe, I guess he retired in 2014.
I guess so. He hasn't acted since 2014, yeah.
Yeah, he retired in 2014 then.
His last movie was Witless Protection, which I think was the Larry the Cable Guy movie.
Oh, and then he's like, after doing a Larry the Cable Guy movie, he's like, I gotta just pack it in.
I cannot surpass.
Oh, and speaking of, before we go, happy belated birthday to Betty White.
Yeah.
Betty White's like, I outlived all you bitches. I'm 99.
That wasn't their plan.
She's like all of you, Golden Girls, all except for Mary Tyler Moore.
Horace Leachman's still around. So's
Ed Asner.
Yep.
Anywho, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. Kurt.
Oh.
Or Jason.
Hey, no, let's switch it up. Go, Kurt. You go.
I'm so excited to go. Okay, well, kurtfitzpatrick.com. That's Kurt with a K. I'm on, I'm a regular guest on the shelf shedding movie show.ca. It's a Canadian podcast. And then there's another podcast called rankndreview.ca. That's rank N. This is the letter N. And I'm on episode 183. We talk about the crazy 80s movies. And then check out the Rogue Festival, and my show Hooray for Speech Therapy 2021. It plays on March 6th and March 14th. So check that out.
Jason.
First of all, you can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. And I know, Les, you have some other podcasts that you do.
Yes, I have two other podcasts. If you are a soap opera fan, you can check out my podcast, Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon. And if you like reality shows, you can check out my podcast, The Reality Reading Rainbow, where I read books written by reality stars and try to make sense of them, too. And Rogue Fest, I almost forgot. I also have a show in the Rogue Festival. I'll be doing my show Climbing My Family Tree, same dates that Kurt's doing his. And we'll have more on that. And I guess that's it. And don't forget to give us a review on whatever platform that you listen to us on. A 5-star review would be absolutely lovely. And now, I guess that's it. So until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye.